prepare yourselves for Ethan and Aaron's Confessions of a Movie Snob, the ongoing discussion of film genres.
Welcome to the podcast. This is Aaron.
This is Ethan.
Hi, Ethan. How are you tonight?
I'm doing good.
That's good.
I'm doing better now that I actually have secured employment. So
that's pretty sweet. We like employment. Yeah.
Yes, we like having jobs where we make actual paychecks and money.
Yeah, those would be very cool. And you're going to be working in the industry.
I will be still working in the industry, yes. I'll be a manager at a video store, so hey.
Very good,
It's money and it's money and it's money in my pocket, so.
It's the best kind of money. It's not just, well,
yep.
You know, it'll be money in your pocket for a little bit, then it's going to be money to the government to pay for your $300,000 education, so.
Yeah, pretty much.
But hey,
pretty much.
For a little while. Married life still good?
Yeah. Well, married life is still very good. Very good.
Not divorced yet.
Beth is also working, but.
Oh, Beth got a job? That's good.
Yeah. She's caring for an elderly couple part time right now.
Oh, that's nice. I've known several people that have done that kind of stuff, and they always say it's very fulfilling or something like that. But we're not here to catch up, are we?
No, we are not here to catch up, although it has been, about a month, and before that it was several months before we got the recording again.
So. Yeah.
It's been, or at least to our listeners, it seems like it's been forever.
Yeah, well, if we have
been all summer, really.
Well, yeah, I mean, we did, a couple weeks ago we did our little, bag to broadcast thingy, and then a week ago I just talked to John because I just was in a podcasting kind of mood. Ethan was busy. I said, fuck you, Ethan, and I just did something anyway. But what we do is we like to talk about movies, and we have a topic for you. We'll get into that in a little bit. Before we get into that, we have a segment we like to call Geekly Happenings. It's news relevant to us geeks, and we were talking before the show, and we're going to try to format this a little bit. We've had Geekly Happenings, especially with McGee, that went on for, an hour, and hopefully that doesn't happen anymore. We're just going to hit on what's kind of big and important to us, and then jump into our main topic. So what happened this week, Ethan?
This is the last season of The Office.
It is. Well,
it is. And that,
season
that
9
kinda,
will be.
That kind of stings.
Season 9 will
be
the last
9.
Season. There's still one more season.
Yes.
And I guess you were unaware of it, but they are doing Shroot Farms. I haven't looked into it, and the more I think about it, you were probably more correct than me. They're probably putting together a pilot right now. And then, assuming it's good. I'm not going to assume anything. But if it's good, we know how we're not infants here. We know how the process works. If they like it, they'll make more. If not, otherwise. I saw some casting information on it. They cast some chick I've never heard of as Dwight's sister. But it was somebody from the TV world. So whatever.
Yeah, and there's a lot of conflicting reports about the show itself and running around out there. So we're gonna just go. I'm just gonna wait for official announcements and stuff.
Now,
so.
did you finish? Season 8?
I love Dwight, so
I like Dwight fine. He gets kind of annoying. I don't know about his own show, but I do know that Paul Lieberstein is going to be the showrunner. He's the guy that plays Toby on the show, and I've always kind of liked his sense of humor. So, hopefully something good comes of it. But you did finish season 8, correct?
Yes.
A lot of people didn't like it. There were some parts it was good.
Beth and I both liked it. Beth and I both loved it. I mean,
there's some
I
parts
like
that lacked, but I
and,
loved the way it came out.
Yeah.
I did like that. James Spader was fun for a couple of episodes. I'm kind of glad he's gone now. Yeah. But, we'll just.
Beth just said she loves The Office.
I love The
She's
Office.
She's the one who got us into it. So.
Yeah, it's a good show. It's a good show.
This is Aaron.
Let your geek flag fly.
Yes.
Oh, wait a minute. Hi, Beth.
She says hi. She's leaving.
Bye. Be careful. So, what else is going on in the world of geek news?
I think it's cool. Christopher Eccleston is going to be the main villain in the next Thor movie.
Yep. I like that, too.
Mikleth.
Yep.
Yep. I know nothing about the storyline, but I know that he's going to be an awesome villain, so I'm good.
Malekith, right?
Malekith.
Yeah, Malekith. I don't really know anything about it. I just like Christopher Eccleston, so, you know, woo-woo. You know, that's pretty much where I stand. You know, I'm excited about the actor, not the character, but I'm also, you know, admittedly unfamiliar with Thor to begin with.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm looking forward to what they do with it.
I know the Back and Board boys are nuts about that. They love it. You know, at some point in the course of their listing, they became like, you know, hardcore grade A black belt Whovians. I mean, they love some fucking Doctor Who. I mean, they used to like it, but at some point along the way, they went nuts, and good for them, because I went through it too.
Well, it's a good show.
It is a good
show.
And
we get new episodes starting in October, so I believe it's in October.
Yep, I like it. I like it.
Oh, yeah. But that's really all. I mean, there's I don't have anything else that comes to mind. I didn't really research a lot this time, so.
Yeah, that jumps to mind. I don't remember box office on The Dark Knight Rises. It's doing well. It's actually doing incredibly well. I mean, it just passed The Dark Knight. It's making a metric shit ton of money. It isn't enough for some people though, for some reason. You know, they're saying it's not doing as well as the Avengers, therefore, oh, fuck it, it's doing horrible. It's doing really well. It's doing really well, so good, because I liked it. Other than that...
Yeah, it just passed a Dark Knight overseas, and I think its domestic total right now is $412 million, with the foreign at $488, so its worldwide is roughly $901 million.
What did Dark Knight do domestically? 700 ish? I don't know.
I want to say it was six or 700. Let me check. It's domestic. Actually, domestic on Dark Knight was 533.
Huh. So it's doing. Yeah, it's doing real well. So that's good. I don't have anything else except for I have two deaths. The first one is just one that we'll glaze over real quick. Funny woman Phyllis Diller passed away at the age of 95, I want to say. She's a really important comedian, and there's a word for female comedian. It's like comedian. I don't feel correct saying it, so I don't use it, but she's really important. A lot of people felt that she did a lot of things for comedians. I'm not particularly a comedy nerd, so I don't really have much to say. I mean, she you know, she left her mark on this world. She lived a good long life, and you know, good for her.
Oh yeah,
her little part in The Aristocrats was really funny. I know a lot of times I saw her; she was very funny. So we got that. And then, I guess I guess I can just do this part because we're going to be leading into our main topic with our last little bit of news. I don't know if we want to do this. How we want to do this, but what it comes down to is Sunday night, I was, you know, doing my normal thing. I was probably watching Breaking Bad or something on TV and fucking around my iPod or, you know, something like that. And I saw a news story that the director, Tony Scott, was dead from an apparent suicide. And my initial reaction to that was, well, that can't be right. Because it had the feeling of one of those... You know, Brad Pitt was killed snowboarding, or Will Smith was murdered, like those bullshit unfounded truths. So I started to look into it, because when I first heard it, it was from Perez Hilton's site TMZ. It was on TMZ. TMZ is, you know, they have a reputation for breaking a lot of news first, but they also have a reputation for breaking a lot of false news. So I started looking into it, and the more I looked into it, it turned out that, you know, it came over the Associated Press that Tony Scott was dead of an apparent suicide. That sucks. We're going to walk through the news of it through a couple of days, and we'll get into the show. Then I believe it was, you know, it was confirmed he was dead. It sucked. I like Tony Scott. He's a good director. We're going to end up be talking his movies. But I do know that the next day I woke up to some news of... that a unconfirmed source was saying that he had been diagnosed with inoperable brain cancer. and they were expecting mm-hmm. that was going to be the cause of, well, not the cause, but the motive for his suicide, because he jumped off of a bridge in California. The name escapes my mind, but if I remember right, it was a 135-foot drop, so it's, it killed the hell out of him. Then some more news came out later that day that they had performed an autopsy, but like the conclusive results won't be out for weeks, which happens a lot of times when there's these these celebrity deaths that are certainly not natural. You know, it happened with Heath Ledger, took months for that. It happened with Amy Winehouse. It just happens. And then there was another little bit of news that came out that said that his family was denying the brain tumor diagnosis. So at this point, we don't know why he's dead.
Yeah.
He could have been depressed. He could have been ill. He could have been fucking murdered for all we know. I doubt it, but he could have been. And at this point, I don't think that we're going to get a solid answer for, what happened. We don't know if it's going to be because he was ill, unless they come up with something. But they have said that he did leave notes for family and friends and stuff like that. None of them said anything about an illness. So whatever happened, he's gone. He's dead. And it's kind of, I don't know what the word I'm looking for is, but it's got a lot of exposure. I mean, everybody on Facebook is talking about how they're the biggest Tony Scott fans ever, and there's been a big outpouring of support from Hollywood people. I know that Ron Howard, I believe it was, tweeted something along the lines of, no more Tony Scott movies. This is a bad day. Been a lot of outpouring in, Hollywood about, the death of this man. And, it's funny. I don't know if Ethan and I really talked about it much, but, Tony Scott has come up on our show an awful lot. He's come up on all kinds of lists. He's made a lot of movies that we've liked over the years. And I've also been re-listening to our old shows. Sometimes I do that. And it's funny, but Tony Scott comes up a lot on our show. And, he never popped up on his own, on one of our favorite directors list, but, he often showed up on our this or that movie, and we'll be talking about those as we go along. But, to me, it sucks to lose him, absolutely, because he was one of those really dependable directors. I mean, he had a very solid style. I mean, you could take one look at a scene in one of his movies and you would know it automatically. He probably suffered sort of being in the shadow of his brother Ridley Scott, but at the same time, I think that he did make his own mark. I mean, right, Ethan?
I agree. I mean, Ridley Scott obviously has his own following and his own style. He's obviously one of our favorites. Tony Scott, though, made a habit out of making, I would say, more commercially viable movies, movies that appealed more to a wider audience. He definitely had a knack for doing some good action sequences and things like that. So it's a big loss to the filmmaking community, and I know I was really shocked to hear the news that he had died. So. Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize he was as old as he was.
He's 68.
I wasn't blown away, but I probably would have assumed he was in his late 50s, early 60s. I didn't realize he was damn near 70. But I told Rachel, and naturally she said, who's that? And I explained her to Rachel, and this didn't work on her anyway, but I still explained her. I explained him as what I would call Michael Bay gone right. And that's not meant as a dig against Michael Bay, but Michael Bay has a very commercial appeal to his movies. He's doing his Transformers, mm-hmm. and he does his Bad Boys and Bad Boys 2, and he does all that stuff, makes tons of fucking money, and he's the golden calf, so to speak. I mean, he makes, if you want to make money, go for it. Yeah, and Tony Scott, like I said, he is overshadowed by Ridley, but he actually had mainstream success before Ridley Scott. His first big movie was Top Gun, and everybody knew Top Gun. I mean, I saw it when I was a kid. I've seen it several times since then. It more than likely is going to pop up on our list somewhere. And he was, you know, absolutely a different kind of director than his brother. His brother's obviously more historical, dramatic. And Michael Bay made a damn good action movie, and a lot of times he did action movies with a brain. So, I mean, he
yeah, I agree. He definitely had a good style about him. And just like Ridley Scott, you knew you were seeing a Tony Scott movie. You know, when you sat down, you went, this looks like a Tony Scott movie. Oh, wait, it is a Tony Scott movie.
I would actually I think that Tony Scott has a more distinctive style than Ridley Scott. I mean, you know, obviously a movie comes out now from Ridley Scott, and if you know, Russell Crowe's in it, then there's a pretty damn good chance you're going to guess it's Ridley Scott. But Tony Scott did have a very, you know, distinct look about his movies, and he had some good ones. He had some definite good ones, and you know, call this what it is, but this is going to be the films of director Tony Scott. Call it a call it a tribute, call it whatever. But he's a good director, and I have seen a lot of outpouring on Facebook, people talking about it. I've seen very little negative, but I have seen negative, and I've attacked the fucking negative people. And And it wasn't even good. It wasn't all like, well, that sucks, I didn't like his movies, but oh well. Or, you know, wasn't it? I mean, they were being pretty nasty, and you know, that's where I draw the line. Because when it comes down to it, you know, he was a director. He gave us a lot of good movies, and we're going to be talking about them now. Ethan, do you want to open up with your number six, or do you have anything else to add?
No, I can just jump right on in with my number six. I sat down and actually figured out that he'd only directed, I want to say...
24 movies?
24 movies, yeah. And I've only seen about 11 of them, actually. But he is definitely a director that I at least enjoy. And when I saw that he had directed a movie, if I saw a trailer and I saw that he directed it, I at least was had some piqued interest to see it. So. Mm-hmm. But my number six is the 1987 film Beverly Hills Cop 2.
That is your number six?
That is my number six, yes.
That is on my list. Course, that is my number. That is my number eight.
Number eight, okay. Yeah. I think the Beverly Hills Cop 2 is arguably better than any of the other Beverly Hills Cop movies. I mean, it's very much an 80s action flick, and you know, with Eddie Murphy doing his thing, and this has a lot to sort of harken back to the first movie. But this one, I felt I've always liked a bit better, just because it felt a bit more kinetic and had a bit more energy to it than the first movie did. The first movie, you have to establish everyone and get all that done, and then this one, they came in and they're just like, all right, well, he's just going to go, we already know all the characters, we can just jump in. And Tony Scott brought a really fun wit and action to the movie that I think this is still clearly the best in the Beverly Hills Cop series. So it's easily my number six.
Yep, it's you know, it's solidly on my number eight. I like it. It's one of those movies that it was one of the first of its kind, and you know, by that I mean like that crazy over the top, you know, buddy comedy, 80s buddy comedy, and it was a lot of fun. You know, it was in, you know, the height of the Eddie Murphy days, and overall, you know, it came off really well. And moving on to my number six, what's funny is you said that, you know, you looked and you saw that he had 24 movies, and you'd seen 11 of them. I off the top of my head, I don't remember how many I've seen, but I do know that I have seen that. I was surprised to see that I have seen all of his theatrical releases. Like a lot of his director stuff is he directed some like some episodes of Numbers and a couple of short movies and The Hunger and stuff like that. And it was funny, if I remember right, that happened to you with what's his face, Jim Cameron. You know, you were just looking, you're talking his movies and you're looking at him, and then you realize not only had you seen them all, but you owned them all, and you were like a closet huge fan. And it turns out I'm a pretty big fan of this guy too, without knowing. I don't know if I own any of his movies, but I have seen a lot of them.
Well, and that's part of this guy. That's part of his appeal, really, because he didn't overshadow the movies that he did. And it's one of those things where it's like, where you can look at your movie shelf and go, oh, wait, I do own, like, four or five movies from this guy. I do like him, and I just didn't know it, you know?
Yeah. Well, with my number six, I'm gonna throw a weird one in there that I don't know if you've seen or anything. And it's not even weird, but it's 2010 Unstoppable. It's the train movie with Denzel Washington and Chris Pine. You know, it's obviously a flawed movie, and
it's my number. It's my number nine.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a flawed movie, but I think that Tony Scott is kind of like the unsung king of the taking a kind of, you know, meh-looking movie and turning in a average to slightly better than average movie, because, you know, there were some definite moments of suspense in there. There was some definite character development going on there, and there was just all kinds of stuff going on that you wouldn't expect in a movie about fucking, you know, Malcolm X and Captain Kirk stopping a train. And that, you know, it was certainly there, and it was an interesting movie, and I liked seeing it. So it's my number six.
It's a good one. I've seen it. Obviously, I didn't like it as much as the others, but it is one of those, I think, that suffered from the last several years. Tony Scott really liked working with Denzel Washington.
Oh, sure.
And I think people kind of got sick of seeing that.
Yeah.
And Unstoppable sort of suffered for it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a bad movie. I mean, I'd want to go back and watch it again. And it is one of those really, you know, dying-the-wolf thrillers that you don't really think about.
Yeah.
But it is pretty good, so Unstoppable.
Very good.
Not bad.
What's your number five?
My number five is one we've talked about before. It's The Last Boy Scout, 1991. I mean,
that's my number
four.
Go
back and listen to our action episode. And
yep.
Which number is it for you?
Number four.
It's your number four.
It's my number four.
It's a good one.
Written by Shane Black,
and it's one that
Tony Scott, yeah.
Yeah, and it's one that gets a lot of grief. I think I don't understand why it does. I mean, for the most part, audiences like it, critics hated it, but, and it is, when you boil it down, I mean, the movie's pretty ridiculous. But it is one of those that you go, well, that really was, you know, that really was just quintessential Tony Scott right there.
Yeah.
And that's what that movie sort of boiled out with. And, you know, got some great lines from Bruce Willis, and it's just a solid, fun action movie from the early 90s. So, it reaches up on my number five.
Yep, it's a good one. Yeah, it's one that we have talked about quite a bit. I mean, infinitely quotable. I think last time we talked about it, or the multiple times that we've talked about it, we brought up the poor dogs that died at the end of the bomb. There's, you know.
Yeah.
There's the head or gut, and there's just all that stuff, and I'd have absolutely no way of substantiating it, but I do know that this movie does seem to suffer because of when it came out, Shane Black was paid like a record
amount.
Yeah, I think it was $1.5 million, and I think it was his second or his third script, and you know there was just a lot of, you know, I mean it's stupid. I don't even know. It's just stupid bullshit that still happens to this day. And I think it did suffer from that, because at the end of the day, yeah, it might have been a stupid action movie, but A, if we're not going to talk stupid action movies, we might as well just stop doing the podcast. And B, it wasn't a stupid action movie. I mean, there was a lot of heart to it. There was a lot of good dialogue.
Yeah.
There was a lot of good stuff going along in it. And, you know, it's a good one.
Oh, yeah.
It's a real good one. That's
it's what you remember after seeing that movie. It's just not the action that memorable, but the dialogue is a lot of fun in it. And I still say that it has some of the best one-liners in movie history has come from that one.
Oh yeah, great one.
Well, what's your number five?
Well, my number five is it's another one that falls into that. There's no reason this should be as good as it is, but it's 1996, The Fan, with Robert De Niro, Wesley Snipes. You know, obviously it's got that Wesley Snipes stink on it, but this was pre-crazy Wesley Snipes. And
that's actually one I haven't seen.
It's a good one. I mean, it's on Netflix, and if you ever get a moment and want to watch a movie, check it out. But, you know, I'm looking at the IMDb page right now, and it says, an all-star baseball player becomes the unhealthy focus of a down-on-his-luck salesman. And, yeah, that's pretty much what it's about, but there's just a lot more to it. And I think that, you know, Robert De Niro being in it should give somebody, especially 1996 Robert De Niro. I mean, you know, he's gotten a little, he's gotten a little lazy, and that's fine. I mean, he's turned in some of like the better performances of all time. He doesn't owe us anything. But it's a pretty good movie, and there's, once again, there's some definite, you know, creepy moments in there, because, you know, he's just a big-ass fan of this baseball player. He helps him out, blah, 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 and it just goes nasty really quick. And it's a good one, and I'm looking at it right now, and it looks like it's on Amazon Prime Instant Watch if anybody wants to watch it. So that's my number, it's number five, The Fan.
Yeah, and that's one I've never seen. I think I've seen bits and pieces of it here and there, but I've never seen the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And that's one that at least for me is I forget that Tony Scott did that movie, you know, and I remember seeing trailers for it and stuff like that, but not being too interested in it. It sort of strikes me as a movie that's sort of akin to Changing Lanes.
Yeah.
You know, one that the trailer was really crappy for.
I'll also say that if you watched it, I mean, if you watch this movie, you would never, ever forget again that it's Tony Scott. I mean, it's the quintessential, you know, frantic action, smoky screens, sharp filters, stuff like that you've come to expect from Tony Scott.
Mm-hmm.
So,
excellent.
My number five.
I'll have to check it out the next time I can.
Yeah, it's a good one.
All right. Well, moving on to my number four. My number four is the 1998 Enemy of the State. With Will Smith and Gene Hackman.
That's my number two.
It is a really good movie. It's a great thriller, great techno thriller, and it sort of came out at the same time, you know, when what was that other one with Hugh Jackman? Swordfish came out, remember? And,
oh, really?
And
I didn't realize that.
And this film just leaps and bounds better.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And this one, I remember hearing, you know, reading about this movie and saying, well, this movie sort of harkens back to the same with Gene Hackman's character through The Conversation. And I went and watched that, and it's like, you know, that is kind of cool. It is sort of an unofficial sequel to that movie without, you know, it's making a sequel to a movie nobody knows about.
Yeah, it is
excellent. And this is definitely one of those really good turns from Will Smith that you don't get to see very often. Especially lately. Will Smith this was back in the day when Will Smith was still, he was still, you know, it's Will Smith, you know, and,
yeah, dog.
And obviously, what's that?
I just said, yeah, dog. Just go
yep.
ahead.
And it was, and it's always good to see, Gene Hackman, you know, before he retires.
So, yeah.
You know. Great movie. I love
The State. Yep, it's my number two. It's funny that I keep piggybacking off of you, but I don't feel bad about it, because you said something earlier about The Fan equating you to something like, you know, Changing Lanes, and I think out of Tony Scott's library, this is the more of his Changing Lanes kind of movies, because this movie was nothing like the trailers at all. I mean, it was like this great espionage thriller with a huge cast. Just all kinds of great, you know, Will Smith stuff before he was, and I still like Will Smith, but before he was the Will Smith that we know now. And I love Gene Hackman. He's such a fantastic actor. So, yeah, I picked him my number two. I like it a lot. I like it an awful lot.
It's a good one. It's a good one.
Okay.
And now your...
My number four is The Last Boy Scout.
Last Boy Scout, direct to my number three.
Yep.
And my number three is one we've mentioned before, and actually mentioned it on the time travel episode. It's Deja Vu. It is one of those movies that I think just does justice to time travel and does justice to the idea. And it's another one, obviously, with Will Smith in it. And then they
Will
sneak
Smith.
In, you know, like Val Kilmer and Jim Caviezel as well.
Will Smith?
No, Will Smith isn't in this one.
You said Will Smith. You meant Denzel Washington, right?
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant Denzel Washington. I apologize.
Why, do they all look the same to you? Oh, never mind.
Oh, ouch.
Ooh.
Ouch. But it's a good movie. I mean, it's all in response to a terrorist attack, and then you have this this very low-key science fiction angle to the movie. That you have this time travel sort of window into the past that you look through, and it gets into the science of it here and there, but it's sort of struck me at least as sort of a Michael Crichton-esque story, and it was just fun. And I would bet this was probably one that was based on a novel of some kind, but really good one, a really good movie, Deja Vu 2006.
Yep, excellent movie. Like I said, I left it off because I knew that this was going to pop up on yours. So, you know, I just thought I might fill out my list with some of the other ones that you might not have seen. So, good choice. Are we going down to my number? Where are we at? My number two? No, we're on my number three.
What's your number three?
My number three is one that I'm going to talk very little about for two reasons. My first is that, you know, I will ashamedly admit that I've only seen it once, possibly twice, but probably only once. And it was a movie that I should watch more than I have, but it's the 2004 Man on Fire. I assume it's going to come up on your list, probably really highly on your list. But it's a movie
that... It's a fantastic
movie. No, it is a very fantastic movie. It's one that I think I caught on something like, you know, HBO or some shit, and I'm all like, you know, I got nothing else better to do, might as well watch this. And it was an excellent movie. It was one of the more... it's probably up there, style-wise, of the most stylistic movies he's ever done. Gorgeous-looking movie, really excellent characters, just like a cutthroat story, but really, really excellent movie. So I picked it from a number 2004.
Mm-hmm.
Ethan, number three?
My number three was Deja Vu, so we're to my number two. Mm-hmm. And my number two is one of those movies that I had really forgotten was one of Tony Scott's movies, and it's actually his first movie with Denzel Washington. It's the 1995 Crimson Tide.
I knew that was going to come up high on your list.
You know, it's just a fun submarine thriller. You know, and you know when you talk to a guy who really likes really loves. Like Hunt for Red October and stuff like this movie does a good job of using that. And I remember this movie was a really big deal when it came out because they built like four levels of this submarine on a big gimbal, and so they actually had this big set that they could use, and they could actually shake the whole set. Mm-hmm. And it was just one of those really cool things. And I, you know, always forget that Tony Scott did this movie, you know. And it's just one of those that that he sort of snuck out back in the mid 90s, and that I remember very fondly. So it's easily stops in at my number two.
Mm-hmm. Well, very excellent. So my number two was Enemy of the State. I talked about it. Good movie, love it.
Mm-hmm.
Bringing us down to your number one.
My number one easily is Man on Fire.
I knew it
was going to be there, and it. Such a good movie. It's one of those. It's a remake of an old movie from an old Scott Glenn movie from the 80s, and with Denzel Washington, and of course with Dakota Fanning, Christopher Walken, all those good people in it. And Man on Fire did not get huge ratings from the critics or anything like that, but it, for some reason it just hit all those bells that I wanted to hit and I wanted to see, and it was just one of those movies that really I was afraid to see because Denzel Washington has never been a huge action type of guy. And this movie, if people see this movie and expect it to be an action movie, they're in for a real surprise because it's very much not. There's a lot going on in this movie, and there's this really very interesting character in Greasy. And Tony Scott manages to film it in a very sort of interesting, almost documentary-style way. And it's a very rigid movie and very, very cool. So, and, I mean, it's easily came to my number one when I was sorting out my list.
And I like I said, I figured it would. It's one of the artsy, fartsy, pretentious Ethan movies. And it's an excellent movie, and I really like it a lot. But like I said, we knew that was going to be your number one. So by that rationale, we knew that my number one was going to be the 1993 True Romance, written by Quentin Tarantino. This is an excellent movie. I mean, just listen to the cast. You have, and it's kind of weird because it's almost flip-sided because it's starring Christian Slater, Patricia Arquette. Okay, that's kind of cool. Then backing it up, you have the likes of Dennis Hopper, Val Kilmer, Gary Oldman, Brad Pitt, Christopher Walken, Branson Pinchot, Sam Jackson, Michael Rapaport, James Gandolfini, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. This is a movie that I like a lot. It's one of those movies that I've owned it several times, and I was actually meaning today to see if I couldn't find it on Blu-ray, because I'd like to own it again. And I'm not going to say that there's anything bad about this movie, but if there was nothing good about this movie, it would be worth owning for the Sicilian scene alone. The scene with one scene with Christopher Walken as a mob boss and Dennis Hopper as Christian Slater's character's father, and him covering up for him because he stole a bunch of drugs and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, this is a kind of movie, it's a kind of scene that feels like they wrote that scene and then they wrote before it and after it. I mean, it was just such an excellent scene. But overall, it's just got that unmistakable Quentin Tarantino flair. But at the same time, it's got that that unmistakable Tony Scott flair. You've got all the pop culture references in the world that you would want with Quentin Tarantino. You've got all I think of Tony Scott, first thing that pops into my mind is, highly filtered, smoky scenes. And I think that he never made better use of the highly filtered, smoky scenes than in the scenes, the weird scenes in this movie with Val Kilmer playing Elvis, or Elvis's ghost, or as he's credited, the mentor to Christian Slater. I mean, there's just so much going on with this movie that it's just a blast to watch, and it's my number one because I really like it a lot, and I also find it to be highly underrated. Not a lot of people know it, but it's pretty easy to get people to watch it once you start it.
Yeah.
So it's my number one.
It's not one of the movies I'm actually too fond of.
And
I've seen it multiple times, and it's just one of those that it just doesn't click with me. Mm-hmm. So nothing against the choice, it's just not a movie for me. Mm-hmm. But Tarantino's sort of involvement in that, and that it's Tony Scott's another one that, I forget that Tony Scott did.
Yeah, see, I could never forget this as Tony Scott. To me, this was his, I'm not going to call it his masterpiece, but this was his resume film. This is the one that he should have shipped out to studios to see, just like everything that he could do, because there was a lot of different stuff going on in this movie. So it's excellent, and I really like it. So what do you say we run down the rest of our list before Skype decides to be a bitch and drop us again?
Sounds good. My number 10 was Top Gun. Number 9 is Unstoppable. Number 8 is Taking of Pelham 1-2-3. Number 7 was Spy Game. Number 6 is Beverly Hills Cop 2. Number 5, Last Boy Scout. Number 4, Enemy of the State. Number 3, Deja Vu. Number 2, Crimson Tide. And number 1, Man on Fire.
Very good. And like I'm prone to do, I decided to use my number 10 as a throwaway, because like I told Ethan the other day, there can't be everything bad about a movie that lets us see Keira Knightley naked. So I picked Domino, the goofy-ass little movie. And then my number 9...
Yeah,
go ahead.
And I've just never seen it. So.
It's pretty bad, but she's naked, so that's good. My number 9 is Top Gun. My number 8 is Beverly Hills Cop 2. My number 8 is Spy Game, and we both put that high on lower on our list. We didn't get a chance to talk about it, and this struck me as a movie that would show up higher on your list, Ethan, because I know that you love the shit out of some Robert Redford, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's an excellent movie. I enjoyed watching it. And then my number 6 is what we just talked about, was Unstoppable. Number 5 was The Fan. Number 4 was The Last Boy Scout. My number 3 was Man on Fire. My number 2 was Enemy of the State. My number 1 favorite movie that Tony Scott ever made was the 1993 True Romance. And, like we said, we've had an excellent career out of this guy, and it's too bad that we're not going to see any more of it, because I'm sure we could have got a couple, good 10, 15 more years movies out of him, and sucks. And, whatever happened, it's too bad, but I just hope that he knew when it was happening that he wasn't going to go away forgotten, because we're certainly going to remember him for a long time coming.
Oh, definitely. And I'm sad that we're only going to get 24 movies from this guy. Mm-hmm. So.
But he made his impact, and that should be good enough for him. So
he did.
He did. So, like I said last week, but we decided to do this because it was topical, because he was somebody that was important to our little podcast. We like seeing him. And we just didn't want to overlook it, so we decided to do this. But Like we teased last week, we are going to be doing Alfred Hitchcock films next week with fan of the show, favorite of the show, John Weatherbax from the Bagman Podcast. It should be fun. I expect your A game on this one, Ethan.
Have him on.
Yeah, it's going to be great. I expect your A game from you on this one, Ethan, because you love yourself some Hitchcock.
All right.
You know,
I do.
Yourself some Hitchcock. You picked him as your number one favorite director second time around, so I expect some good shit out of you. So, you know, here it comes. But
I'll try to bring my best shit, yes.
Yes, bring it. Bring it on. Okay, but unless you have anything else, I think that's going to bring us to an end.
I think that's it.
Okay, well, until next week, I'm Aaron.
I'm Ethan.
Good God, dude. Let your geek flag fly.
Yes.